John writes, "Here is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." The love of God. God's love for us. God's love for humanity. God's love for you. It's something that can fall off the plate quite easily. I was speaking to somebody about Jesus during the week, and as I talked with him, he was a little aggressive. He didn't like some of the things that the Bible said, and I thought at one point, God loves this guy. Do I? Here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And how has God loved us? He gave his son. He gave his son to be the propitiation. That's a big word. That's a sacrifice that turns aside God's anger. That's real, practical, gutsy love that God has shown us. Planned from all eternity, eternal love, costly love, his son given. It's love which is unconditional. Because God loves us while we were sinners, Paul writes in Romans, while we were God's enemies, he sent his son. And it's eternal love. Love from which none of us can be separated. No trouble, no hardship, no pain, no sickness, no death can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And this love profoundly changes us, not only bringing us into God's family, as his wrath turned aside, Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, but it profoundly, or should profoundly, change us, how we treat each other. Because John goes on to write, as you've been loved, so you ought to love one another. Today I've been asked to speak on pastoral care one-to-one. I'm not really quite sure of the rationale behind this, nor why even I was chosen to speak, but it's just one talk on how do we care for each other. And I do must confess to certainly during this last week, to feeling totally inadequate. Well, what can we say about pastoral care? Well, the first thing I thought was, wow, that sounds like something that you have to go to college to learn about. You know, it's a course that you do, the pastoral care. There are pastoral care courses that you do, and you probably get a certificate at the end, and presumably you can then engage in pastoral care, caring for other people. And I thought, well, maybe that sounds just a little bit too lofty, and maybe we will think, oh, well, I can't do that. I haven't been to that college. I haven't done that course. And I thought, well, I'll actually rename this. I just want to call it Jesus Care, because it's caring for others as Jesus has cared for us. It's loving each other as Jesus loved us. And Gav has already mentioned Jesus' words from John. Greater love is no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that's how Jesus, the shepherd, the good shepherd, the true pastor, that's how he has loved us. But pastoral care or Jesus care has an edge, an aim, a focus. It's not merely care or love for each other. It's care that, as I've already tried to say in my change of title, has Jesus as its upward gravitational pull. It's care not just that might inspire others or help others cope with their circumstances or make them feel better about themselves. That all may happen as Jesus' care is applied, of course. But our focus is an upward gravitational pull, a care, a love in such a way which invites others and calls others to come to know Jesus, the true shepherd, and through him the God of all comfort, as we'll see from 2 Corinthians in a moment. It's care which continues to help each other grow up into Jesus, who is our head. It's care that, yes, will actually warn and challenge each other as needed, to keep us on the right path. Warn each other, Paul writes in Thessalonians, those who are lazy. And warn each other that you're not deceived by sin and have a hardened heart against God. It's care and love that encourages each other to continue to follow Jesus in and through the present troubles that we might be going through. It has Christ in the present and Christ on the horizon. Care for each other, an upward gravitational pull. Because it is only through Jesus that we find the God of all comfort, the God and Father of all compassion and mercies, which Richard mentioned in his prayer. And so we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm just going to make a couple of brief comments about this and then a couple of practical thoughts about how we might care for each other. So don't get too uneasy as we're just starting to look at this. Okay, now Paul writes of the in praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion or mercies and the God of all comfort. Here it is that God is the source of all compassion. God is the source of all compassion, and he is the God of all comfort. Now, unfortunately, the word comfort has lost its original meaning. Originally here, it is someone who stands beside you and speaks to you. You might think of it as like a swimming coach going up and down the pool, calling out to you to encourage you to keep on going, keep swimming, keep paddling, or whatever it is swimmers do up the pool. I don't know really what you think about while you're doing that, but anyway, having a coach there is probably of some help. That's really what it is. Actually, we think of comfort as ease of life and freedom from pain and the absence of trouble, but that is not... that's not the context here in 2 Corinthians, as we've seen. Paul outlines hardships from verse 8 that he suffered in the province of Asia under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we even despaired of our own lives. Indeed, our hearts felt the sentence of death. As a result of this, he says, we stopped relying on self to rely on God who raises the dead. He rescued us and he'll rescue us again, and thank you for your prayers. Paul's not in some sort of comfortable life as in terms of ease of pain. No, there's a word of comfort from God, the source of comfort. What is comfort? Well, actually it means with strength, the original English word. Our English word came from the Latin cum forte, which means with strength. Forte is also used in musical terms. My musician friends tell me that F means forte. Thank you for instructing me in this. And one F in the music tells you that you play loudly, you see. And there's two Fs. I've figured all this out, you know. Two Fs means you've bashed the piano a little bit harder. Three Fs means that the piano is just about to break in half. And four Fs, there's smoke coming out of the piano. I think that's something like that. But it means with strength. God is the source of all comfort. God is the source of our strength, not ease of pain, not a comfortable life as we might think about it, but his strength, his word into our hearts and lives in the midst of even despair, as Paul writes. He is the source. He is the God of all comfort with strength. Cum forte. And our strength, his strength, his strength in us changes us. I wondered, why did this word comfort change from this idea of with strength to being in ease. And I suspect that because of the impact of Christians who in their trouble had peace, who in their uncertainty had security, who in their affliction had joy, that their life seemed to be, well, the trouble didn't impact them as it did everyone else. So it came to be understood as a life almost above the trouble, because they were trusting in the God of all strength, cum forte. Of course, the word of Christ, the presence of the Spirit, the promise of the word of God is God applying his comfort, his words of strength and of encouragement into our hearts. But there's a surprising way which we find the comfort of God, and it is through each other. So not only have we been loved that we would love, here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, so you ought also to love one another. Not only are we loved that we would love, we are comforted, strengthened, that we would comfort others. God comforts us in our troubles, Paul writes, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Here it is, being not a drain on each other, but a conduit of blessing from God. How are we to think of Jesus' care? It is love as we've been loved, comforting, strengthening as we've been comforted and strengthened by God in our suffering. The blessing, the comfort flowing out. And Paul says, actually, the more I suffer in verse 5, so through Christ our comfort, our strength overflows. Again, Jesus, the source of our comfort here, from God, our Heavenly Father. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit, for your comfort, for your strengthening, for your salvation. For when we are comforted, Paul writes, we will certainly comfort you. Well, there's a good way of thinking about caring for each other, isn't it? A very practical way. Loving as we've been loved, comforting, strengthening as we've been comforted and strengthened. And I need to say, a lot of this I observe at 10 a.m. The people that I call or maybe visit and realise 3, 4, 5, 6 people have called, visited the same person from 10 a.m, I think, praise God. Praise God for that. I want to encourage you in this, and I want to encourage us all to do it all the more, because the comfort and the care and the love that we've been shown is immense. Well, we've been loved that we would love, comforted that we would comfort. What does this mean for us? Now, I did think, well, we need to really have the heart of Jesus, don't we? It's Jesus' care that we are focusing on today, so we need to have the heart of Jesus. So I wondered, well, how's our hearts beating? Is our hearts beating like Jesus with the love that he has shown us? Is our hearts beating with the comfort that we've received from him, so that we would give the love and the comfort to each other? Let's look at our hearts, and maybe we need a heart starter today. Maybe we need a heart starter to get our hearts beating in the same pattern that Jesus' heart beats. So I've thought of CPR. I thought we might remember this. CPR. Now, please don't let me minimise pastoral or Jesus care to three little acronyms, word acronym, but there's a lot more to be said. However, let's have a crack at CPR, shall we? We do have a defibrillator in the back over here, by the way, just in case. I nearly grabbed it off the wall and brought it out with me. I thought I'd give myself a shot before I got up to preach, and I thought I'd use it for a sermon illustration as well. But it is back there somewhere. So let's talk about CPR. First is C, connection. If we're going to care for each other, we need to connect with care. Connect. It sounds like, well, that's pretty basic. Well, yes, it is, and maybe that's why I was asked to speak on it. connect. You know the secret to connecting? Here it is. This is how you start. This is how you start it. This is a real little secret here. How do we do it? You say, g'day. G'day. Hi. I'm Col, or whatever your name is. Put your hand out or whatever, yeah? That's it. It sounds pretty simple. But we do need to connect. If we're going to care for each other and love each other as we've been loved, we need to connect with care. And it starts with a friendly smile and a little g'day. We need to connect. Maybe we could think about how we're going to do that better. If you've got the opportunity, maybe you could come even before church starts, a little few minutes before, stand around the back, say g'day to new people that come in. It will really help a new person to connect. Some new people don't want to be smothered, so we need to do it with care, okay? Connect with care. We need to do that. Maybe we could walk in with them. Maybe we could sit with them. Maybe we could look out when the kids are going off to their break, look around and see if there's new people sitting by themselves. I saw them, some new folk here today. I'm sorry I didn't able to get round to you to say hi. But maybe that's something that we could do. It's very practical, connecting. Connecting. What about people that you haven't seen at church for a little while? Maybe you could give them a note. Maybe you could give them a call. Maybe you could send them an email. Maybe you could touch base. Maybe you could connect. It's not all up to the pastoral team. In fact, it's at that point an unhelpful term because it sort of elevates, oh, well, I'm not a pastoral team, so I don't have to do any of that. No, no, we are all called to love as we've been loved and care as we've been, comfort as we've been comforted. Okay, so we could connect with care. We need to do that. A very significant part of that is listening to others and listening with sensitivity as well. Listening to them. Listening to their troubles, their problems. How are we going to care for each other if we don't understand each other? All motivated with the authentic love that God has shown us. Listening. Listening well. And I'm not a very good listener. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm a very poor listener. But we do need to work hard at it. Engaging with people and with each other. Trust, openness is fostered. We feel cared for when we're listened to. We may not necessarily want all of our problems solved by a conversation. We just might want them heard and understood. Connect with care and listen. Meeting people where they are at, not where we expect them or necessarily want them to be. Connecting. CPR. Got the heart going? C. P. P is for prayer. When we connect with each other and when we hear each other's story, when we understand the joys, the sorrows, the needs, the troubles, the fears, why then we are best able to bring that person, to bring each other before the throne of God's grace in prayer. It may be appropriate to pray with each other even as we meet, chatting one-on-one. Let's pray about that. But pray, bringing each other before the Lord, we need to do. Pray for opportunities. Pray for openness. Pray for ourselves that we would be more open, approachable, authentic, warm, genuine, compassionate, understanding, non-judgmental, respectful. Pray that we will be more biblical in our thinking, that we may say the right words, and we'll get to sharing in a moment. Pray that we would be more empathetic with each other. Pray for each other. Use the prayer diary. But pray. Connecting. Praying. CPR. Finally, reading. Reading, let's call it sharing God's word. Reading, bringing God's word into each other's hearts and lives. True care will point us to the one who truly loves and cares, our great compassionate God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us. And when we pray, we bring each other to Jesus, through Jesus, to our Heavenly Father. And when we share the Word of God, we bring His Word down into our hearts and into our lives. And when we do that, we will then be building each other up into Christ, who is our head, not tossed around by every wind of doctrine and idea, nor tossed around by our own fears, troubles, sorrows. The Word of God, speaking it into each other's lives. And when we have connected well, we will have permission to do that. So I'm asking us to get the defibrillator out and let's have the heart of Jesus to love as we've been loved and to comfort, to bring the strength of the Lord to each other just as we have received the comfort from God Himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so help us to drink in the love that you've shown to us and the strength that we receive from you, the word of encouragement from you, the word of hope from you, the word of promise from you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll so help us to love and to care, that we will point people, each other, to Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you'll instill in us your great word of promise that reminds us that our present troubles are but momentary in the light of eternity, and the glory that will be revealed in us will not be worth comparing to the troubles that we have now. Thank you for your word, and help us, Lord, with great genuineness and authenticity to have hearts that beat as Jesus' heart beats. And we pray in his name. Amen.